A Vow of Glory, written by Morgan Rice and read for you by Wayne Farrell. Chapter 1. Andronicus rode proudly down the center of MacLeod's royal city, flanked by hundreds of his generals, and dragging behind him his most prized possession, King MacLeod. Stripped of his armor, half naked, his hairy body rolling with fat, King MacLeod was bound by ropes and tied to the back of Andronicus's saddle by a long rope circling his wrists. As Andronicus rode slowly, reveling in his triumph, he dragged MacLeod through the streets, over dirt and pebbles, stirring up a cloud of dust. MacLeod's people gathered and gaped. He could hear MacLeod calling out, writhing in pain as he paraded him through the streets of his own city. Andronicus beamed. The faces of MacLeod's people crumpled in fear. Here was their former king, now the lowliest of slaves. And it was one of the finest days Andronicus could remember. Andronicus was surprised at how easy it had been to take MacLeod's city. It seemed as if MacLeod's men had been demoralized before the attack had even begun. Andronicus's men had conquered them in a blaze of lightning, his thousands of soldiers swooping in, overriding the few soldiers who dared to defend, and swarming the city in the blink of an eye. They must have realized there was no point in resisting. They had all laid down their arms, assuming if they surrendered, Andronicus would take them captive. But they did not know the great Andronicus. He despised surrender. He took no captives, and lowering their weapons just made it all the easier for him. The streets of MacLeod's city ran with blood as Andronicus's men swept every valley, every side street, butchering every man they could find. The women and children he had taken as slaves, as he always did. The houses they looted, one at a time. And Andronicus rode now slowly through the streets, surveying his triumph. He saw the corpses everywhere, the heaping spoils, the destroyed homes. He turned and nodded to one of his generals, and immediately the general raised a torch high, motioned to his men, and hundreds of them fanned throughout the city, setting fire to the thatched roofs. Flames rose up all around them, reaching for the sky. And Andronicus could already begin to feel the heat from here.
No!
MacLeod screamed, flailing on the ground beside him. Andronicus grinned wider and picked up his pace, aiming for a particularly large rock. There came a satisfying thump, and he knew MacLeod's body had ridden over it. Andronicus took great satisfaction in watching this city burn. As he had in every conquered city in his empire, he would first raze the city to the ground, then build it up again with his own men, his own generals, his own empire. That was his way. He wanted no trace of the old. He was building a new world, the world of Andronicus. The ring, the sacred ring which had eluded all of his ancestors, was now his territory. He could hardly conceive it. He breathed deeply, wondering just how great he was. Soon enough, he would cross the highlands and conquer the other half of the ring too. Then there would be no place left on the planet upon which his foot had not tread. Andronicus rode up to the towering statue of MacLeod in the city square and stopped before it. It stood there like a shrine, rising 50 feet. Made of marble. It showed a version of MacLeod that Andronicus did not recognize. A young, fit, muscular MacLeod, wielding a sword proudly. It was egomaniacal. For that, Andronicus admired him. A part of him wanted to take the statue back home, install it in his palace as a trophy. But the other part of him was too disgusted by it. Without thinking, he reached down, took out a sling 3 times larger than that of any human, large enough to hold a rock the size of a small boulder, reached back and hurled it with all he had.